mejor así con un traje rojo, muy peculiar, pues me imagino que también tendrán que estar preparando todo
para recibirle.
Para recibirle. Entonces, pues esas horas que pasan con nosotros también les ayuda, ¿no?
Ajá. Sí.
Bueno, para los papás que traigan a los chavales a los intensivos de Navidad de Vaughan. Que parece todo esto una fiesta, que lo es, pero van a aprender mucho inglés.
De forma intensiva. Son
súper amenas, divertidas,
claro,
con mucha energía. Se lo pasan tan bien que además no se dan cuenta que pasa una hora, otra
a veces
hora,
se creen...
otra hora.
Sí.
El teléfono que deberían sabérselo es el 911-333-5832. 911-333-5832. ¿Pueden... ¿Hay otra forma de apuntarse? Sí. Viniendo aquí a esta oficina, a la calle Orense 69, primera planta.
Day. All right, it's time for the paragraph of the day. And our paragraph today comes from the book 198 Paragraphs for Varied Use. And there are varied uses for these paragraphs. You can use them in many ways. They come with audio, an audio CD that you can listen to and get the accent, different types of accents, and pick up expressions and phrasal verbs and more with the paragraph book. I'm going to read this one, okay? Let me see here. Let me pick a good one. Okay. Someone's been driving my car. Someone's been driving my car. I can tell. Se nota, right? Lo sé, we say. Someone's been driving my car. I can tell. I can tell by the position of the seat. I always keep the seat close to the steering wheel, and now I can barely reach it. And besides, the car seat seems a little lower than my usual setting. Has anybody been driving my car, Jennifer? I don't know how it could be because I have the only set of keys. I never gave you a set, did I? ¿Verdad? Did I? So, ¿verdad? That is a general sort of question tag, right? So in English, we have a specific way to form a question tag. I'll get to that in a minute. Someone's been driving my car. Alguien ha estado conduciendo mi coche. Lo sé. I can tell. I can tell. Lo sé. I can tell. It's a good expression. Lo sé por la posición del asiento. I can tell by the position of the seat. I always keep the seat close to the steering wheel, and now I can barely reach it. Siempre dejo el asiento cerca del volante. Y ahora, casi ni llego. I can barely reach it. El volante, steering wheel. I can barely reach it. And besides, the seat seems a little lower than my usual setting. Y además, el asiento parece un poco más bajo de lo habitual. Okay. Has anyone been driving my car, Jennifer? Jennifer, oye, Jennifer, ¿Alguien ha estado conduciendo mi coche? ¿Has anyone been driving my car? No sé cómo es posible si yo solo tengo un juego de llaves. Nunca le di un juego, ¿verdad? I don't know how it could be. I don't know how it could be. No sé cómo es posible. We say, I don't know how it could be possible, or sometimes simply, I don't know how it could be. How could it be? Because I only have one set of keys. Porque tengo solamente un juego de llaves. I only have one set of keys. Nunca te di un juego, ¿verdad? I never gave you a set, did I? Did I? Hmm. All right, there you go. There you have it, folks. That is our paragraph. Let me read it one more time. So the guy's just saying, look, someone's been driving my car. I don't know who. He can't figure it out. It ends with a question tag. Did I? Right? I didn't go there. Did I? So you take the auxiliary verb, and you, if it's affirmative, you change it to the negative. If it's negative, you change it to the affirmative, and then you add the subject. Did I? You like chocolate, don't you? Right? You like chocolate. What would be the auxiliary verb? Well, make a short answer. Would be do, or a question. Do you like chocolate? The negative, don't. So, and then the subject again. Don't you? You like chocolate, don't you? You didn't go to the office yesterday, did you? So that's how the question tag works. I'm going to read this one more time. Una vez más. Someone's been driving my car. I can tell. I can tell by the position of the seat. I always keep the seat close to the steering wheel, and now I can barely reach it. And besides, the seat seems a little lower than my usual setting. Has anyone been driving my car, Jennifer? I don't know how it could be because I have only one set of keys. I never gave you a set. Sorry, I have the only set of keys. I never gave you a set, did I? All right. Okay, there you go. That was our paragraph of the day. Hey, we're going to move on, and why don't we take a look at a band? I really like this band. They're old. They're old, but classics, and popular in Spain as well, right, Tino? I think so. We're going to look at... Now, the band is Creedence Clearwater Revival. In English, we say, when we abbreviate it, we say CCR, like CCR, CCR. But in Spain, you say Creedence, or La Creedence, no? The Creedence. All right, which is kind of cool. But the full name, of course, Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's in the music.
It's in the music.
Came out in 1969. The record was called Willie and the Poor Boys. Characters who feature in this song, a song that tells the story of this fictional fake band called Willie and the Poor Boys, who were street musicians playing for nickels, tocando para, bueno, centimos, cents would be centimos, but nickels are 5 cent coins. And the name of the jug band was also, like I said, the name of this album that went on to sell over a million copies. Now, on the cover, the band is shown on the corner, performing to a very small crowd outside a market. Now, the location had no real significance, except it happened to be half a block, media manzana, half a block from the recording studio. And John Fogerty of the band, the lead singer, says he only ever went there one time, and it was just around the time of the album's release. Now, just as the Beatles took on the role of Sgt. Pepper's Hearts Club Band, Creedence became Willie and the Poor Boys for this album. This is the only song that played to the concept, but CCR appeared on the cover as the fictional band and sort of shaped the tone for the record, of course, through this song. So let's take a look here. Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. So to unwind is to go down, to relax, to take it easy. You can wind up, que es dar cuerda, to wind up. And the opposite is to wind down or to unwind and begin to relax. Four kids on the corner trying to bring you up. Willie picks a tune out and blows it on his harp. His harp, the instrument. Down on the corner, out in the street. Willie and the Poor Boys are playing, bring a nickel, tap your feet. Down on the corner, out in the street, Willie and the Poor Boys are playing, bring your nickel and tap your feet. So bring a nickel, a coin to give to the band because they're street performers. Now, one of the guys, the bass player's name is Rooster. Well, no, sorry, not the bass, but he plays a washboard, like for washing clothes. And in southern U.S., music of this, or the sort of early rhythm and blues, they sometimes played the washboard. Rooster hits the washboard, and people just got a smile. Blinky thumps the gut bass and solos for a while. So he's playing like a stand-up bass. Poor Boy twangs the rhythm out on his Kalamazoo, and Willie goes into a dance and doubles on kazoo. So they're playing these instruments, these old instruments. You know, it's sort of painting the picture of this street performance. Down in the corner, out in the street, Willie and the Poor Boys are playing. Bring your nickel, tap your feet. And that repeats. And then you don't need a penny just to hang around, but if you've got a nickel, won't you lay your money down? So they're saying you don't have to pay, but we appreciate it if you would. Down on the corner, out on the street, Willie and the poor boys are playing. Bring a nickel, tap your feet. And then it repeats a couple of times, and that's the song. There you go. So it's a good one and a classic. That was, of course, CCR from the record Willie and the Poor Boys, 1969. Out in the street, playing the pump for the pain, bringing yourself happy feet. Down on the corner, out in the street, playing the pump for the pain, bringing yourself happy feet. Down on the corner, out in the street. Zhongguo Yanyu. Chinese proverbs. Chinese proverb, everybody. Today's proverb: dig the well before you are thirsty. So to dig, excavar. Hacer el agujero y excavar. Dig el pozo. Antes de que tienes sed. Antes de que tengas, ¿no? Sed. Ah, see that subjunctive? See how I did that, everybody? Con facilidad, ¿eh? Soltura. All right, anyway. Dig the well before you're thirsty. So this proverb is a kind of a figurative way of saying plan ahead. Be prepared. Right? Now, there's actually, I could actually sound this out. Way you. Way you wait. Way you wait. Chumu. Okay, my Chinese is terrible, right? I need to practice. Lo siento, es que no hablo chino, eh? Anyway, the first part means before it rains. And this wei usually refers to something in the future, something that hasn't happened yet. Like in case of the rain. So in this case, the proverb literally means repair or, you know, fix something up before the rain comes to make sure that you're ready for the rainy day. Now, the English meaning is sometimes equated to saying, dig the well before you're thirsty. There you go. So dig the well before you're thirsty. Before you need something, make sure you're able to get it when it's something essential like water. You know, so make sure that you're ready. Try to anticipate problems. Be prepared. Anticipate problems and be ready for them before they occur, which I guess is great, great guidance for life. Today's Chinese proverb, dig the well before you're thirsty.
Technology Today.
All right. Technology Today. A paralyzed man has walked using a brain-controlled robotic suit. Un traje robótico. Now, this is a tetraplegic. Would that be four? Well, he can't walk. You know, he has lost the ability to move all four of his limbs. His extremities are paralyzed. But he has regained control through a brain-controlled robotic suit. Now, this is a 28-year-old man from France who was paralyzed from the shoulders down after he fell from a balcony and severed his spinal cord. Terrible. Yeah. Now, he had some movement in his arms and his biceps and his left wrist, and he was able to operate a wheelchair using a joystick with his left arm. But researchers there in France at the University of Grenoble, they got together with some other experts, and they put devices on either side of his head between the brain and the skin. And the idea is this is the part of the brain that controls motor function and sensation. So these electrode grids, these electrodes are put in his brain. They collect the man's brain signals and transmit them. And they are converted into signals. The signals are converted into movements and commands of a robotic exoskeleton. So he has this suit, basically, that the brain, the electromagnetic signal in the brain is sent down to this suit. It is interpreted, and the suit, with his body in it, moves according to the desires of his brain. This is almost like magic, isn't it? I mean, it's incredible, really, if you think of it. Now, over a period of 2 years, he trained the algorithm to understand his thoughts by controlling a virtual character within a video game, making it walk and touch 2D, two-dimensional, and three-dimensional objects. So he had to train it because, you know, the scientists couldn't possibly know what the signals from his brain would be like. So he was able to train this in a simulation, essentially like a video game type simulation, and then they take the expertise learned through that and apply it to the suit that he wears. Fascinating. Now, over the course of the study, he covered a total of, he walked a total of 145 meters with 480 steps in the exoskeleton. And scientists said that the technology is an experimental treatment for now, but once it is improved, it could have the potential to improve patients' lives. Sure. Sure it would. So he says, I can go home tomorrow in my exoskeleton, he says, but I've gotten to the point where I can walk. I said, I can't. I can't go home, but I've gotten to the point where I can walk. I can walk when I want and stop when I want, he said. Now, he said, our findings could move us a step closer to helping tetraplegic patients to drive computers using brain signal alone, maybe starting with driving wheelchairs using brain activity instead of a joystick, and progressing to developing an exoskeleton for increased mobility. Now, the team has recruited three more patients to the trial and wants to allow patients to walk and balance without using a ceiling suspension system in the next phase of the research. So that's great. Wonderful, wonderful news. Interesting stuff. All right, speaking of interesting, why don't we look at an expression? Everybody likes expressions, right, Tino? How about our expression of the day?
Expression of the day.
All right, the expression of the day, old hat. Gorro viejo. But old hat, if we say something is old hat, it means it's something that we are very familiar with. Oh, it's old hat. A procedure that is easy for us because we've practiced it a lot and it has become easy. It has become simple and easy for us. It is old hat. For me, hosting this show is old hat now. When I first started doing it, I was nervous and I didn't know what to do on the radio. But now, it's old hat. Hosting the show has become old hat. It's become something that I am familiar with. Old hat. So it's a good expression. Now, we don't say, and it's an old hat. No, we say it is old hat. To be old hat. Strange expression, isn't it? I mean, I don't know the real origin, but I guess your old hat is very comfortable, right? You've worn it a lot. It's broken in. It's comfortable. You're used to it. You're accustomed to it. So I guess that's the origin of old hat. But it is curious how we don't say, or it's funny, I should say. It's odd how we don't say, it's like an old hat. No, we just say, it's old hat. To be old hat. All right. Now, before we go, I want to do another challenge. Another one? Yeah, another challenge. Because I try to do this every day for the folks at home working on their fluency with the English language. This is a very didactic moment. I hope you will participate with this one out loud. It's time for the interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
All right, this is that part where I give you the answer. You ask the question. Okay? Number one, I read up to chapter 5. How far did you read? Hey, how far did you read? I read up to chapter 5. Okay. Number two, his favorite color is purple. What's his favorite color? What's his favorite color? Oh, purple. I bought it because it was on sale. Why did you buy it? Hey, why did you buy it? Oh, I bought it because it's on sale. Or as I would often say, cuz, instead of because, cuz. I bought it because it was on sale. A lot of people say that. All right, number four. I ran into Tino yesterday. Who did you run into yesterday? Oh, no, Tino.
Tino.
Tino. Tino. We've done it twice so far this week. How many times have you done it so far this week? Number six, I couldn't log in because I forgot my password. Why couldn't you log in? Hey, why couldn't you log in? Oh, because I forgot my password. All right. They changed the model last year. When did they change the model? Uno más. One more. Okay. I'm finished because I'm out of time. Why are you finished? Kyle, why are you finished? Well, because I'm out of time. That's right, and I am out of time.
That's
all right.
That's all, folks.
That's all, folks. Exactly. That's it. I'd love to keep talking. We didn't have a chance to do our history section, but we'll do history on Monday. There's always another show, folks. We'll get back to it on Monday. That is it for the Drive Time Show for the week. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, thanks for joining us. I know you have a lot of things you can do with your time, and I thank you for deciding to spend it with us. Have a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful weekend. Have fun. Stay safe. Enjoy it, and we'll see you on the other side. Bye-bye.
Me ha parecido un buen programa para darte cuenta del nivel de inglés que tienes, de que sabes más de lo que te, de lo que crees y de que tienes la oportunidad de hablar con gente de muchas partes del mundo anglosajón y diferenciar distintos acentos y darte cuenta que no existe un inglés.